Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Samach. In our previous shiur, we concluded by reading the Mishnah, and with this we begin the Gemara. Before we actually start the text, we glance at the side where the topic heading appears, the Nosei. Hapitaron, the solution, lemi shehoya nozir, someone who had accepted nazirus for nolat sfekos, and there arose doubts, additional issues, besides the fact that he was a nozir, sofek nitma, sofek nechlat, a possibility that he became a tome mace, and a possibility that he experienced tzoras, and was healed from it. The sukkah here, in effect, contains information that we have dealt with in the past extensively on several occasions. So we're not going to spend too much time giving introductions to the Gemara, as it is essentially working through information that we have seen already. One point that I want to emphasize that I did not emphasize in one of our previous shiurim, and that is in the realm of sacrifices, when it comes to a sin offering, you don't find that it can be brought, we'll say, conditionally. It's certainly not a type of sacrifice that one can bring in as a voluntary offering, as a neder, nedava. There's an exception to this rule of a korban chatos, as we said, is brought only under, we'll say, given or known circumstances. There is the case of a chatos ha'of that can be brought under suffek circumstances. One major point that the sugya here, the Gemara, is not going to deal with with regard to the chatos ha'of, but you'll see it in the commentaries. A chatos ha'of, a bird sin offering, when brought under doubtful circumstances, in other words, to solve what otherwise would be a situation that a person couldn't get out of, if not for the fact that he's bringing this sin offering, nevertheless, this bird offering will not be eaten by the Kohanim. A definite bird sin offering brought under known given circumstances, the bird is after its nimlak, the malika process, the way it's slaughtered, which is unique to sacrifices, the Kohen will eat it. However, if it's not necessary, and here we have a doubt that maybe the bird offering wasn't necessary, the Kohanim cannot eat from it because its method of slaughter is called malika, which is unique, as we said, to bird offerings, that if done outside the context of a sacrificial offering, it would be a nevela, it would be totally forbidden to eat. Only because it is a sacrifice do we slaughter it the way we do, which involves a process called malika, where the Kohen thumbnail, it grows longer, and he extends it into, he penetrates the spine first of the bird, penetrating into it and severing the simen that's required for a chatos ha'of. The Gemara, Tana. You can see we open with a Tanaic source, and in this source you see numberings. Later in the source, the second half of the source, the Gemara will be explaining each one of these stages as we continue into the Gemara later. But in the meantime, the source opens up and says, "Bamed v'mumurim." This is a follow-up of the Mishnah. The Mishnah described a nozir upon whom arose these doubts that we mentioned, the Sofek Tumo and the Sofek Tsaras. And the Mishnah gave times. After 60 days, he will be able to partake of sacrificial meat. Because during the first 60 days, we learned in the Mishnah, he was, we'll say, solving the Tsaras possibility. And in a state of Tsaras, until the offerings are brought, until he gets out of that state of Tumah or Sofek Tumah, he's not allowed to partake of sacrifices. So he's considered having solved the Tumah, the Tsaras Tumah problem after 60 days. And as far as the Nazirus problems that he has because of the Tumas Meis, he is only allowed to resume the drinking of wine and attending funerals after 120 days. So the Tanaic source here says that all of that is when you're dealing with a short-term Nazirus, the minimum Nazirus of 30 days. Avol, we continue in the source. Benazirus Bas Shona, if his initial Nazirus was for 1 year, and these doubts arose, Oichel Bekotchim Lachar Shteishonim, he will not be able to partake of sacrificial meat until 2 years pass by. During those, at the conclusion of each one of those years, as we learned in the Mishnah, he will have to take a haircut, a body shave, because of the Tsaras. The Tsaras demands a two-stage shaving, and that shaving is strictly Tsaras oriented. He doesn't even get a chance to take care of his Nazirus issues until after those first two shavings. So that will take him to the end of 2 years. And at that point, he can eat from Kodshim sacrificial meat. And his freedom from the Nazir restrictions, le'achar arba shonim, that will be only after 4 years. V'toni alo, and concerning this, we teach umegalech arba tiglachios. There are four haircuts, tiglachas rishona, mevi tziporim v'chatosof, and these points will be explained in the Gemara itself, so we don't have to dwell on them right now. You will see, as you look ahead in the Gemara, triangles which explain in a more complete fashion each one of these stages. So the first haircut, which would be either after 30 days in the case of the Mishnah, or after 1 year in the case of the Nazirus Merubah, the long-term Nazirus. In our case, we had 1 year. So after 1 year, there's going to be a tiglachas, a shave, and maybe tziporim, he'll bring birds. These are two birds, one of which is slaughtered over some water, and the other bird is set free. These are birds that are part of the tzaras purification process that are not done in the Beis HaMikdash, not sacrifices. They're part of a ritual cleansing that is necessary for the mitzvah. So he brings those birds on the side that he had in fact been a mitzvah and needs to be cleansed from it. Fechatos ha'of, and he brings a bird sin offering that is on the tzad, on the side that he wasn't a mitzvah but was a nazir that became tomei. And he brings the chatasof, which comes, as we said, as a sofek. The oilas behema, and he brings an animal ola, burnt offering. That's characteristic of one who was a nazir who completed his nazirus, which this fellow might very well be, meaning a nazir who completed his nazirus, because maybe he was not a mitzora, and maybe he didn't expose himself to death defilement. So those are three things that he does at the end of the first year or the first 30 days, which we call the Tiglachas Rishona. Shnia, the second stage, Mevi, Chatos Oif Oilas Behema. At this point, the Tziporim mentioned are not necessary whatsoever. He brought them already, so he doesn't have to do that again. At this point, he brings the Chatas Ha'of and the Olas Behema. Shlishis, Mevi, Chatas Ha'of, the Olas Behema. And now, at the fourth stage, whatever Tzoras and Tuma matters had been, he's taken care of. So at the fourth stage, Mevi Korban Taro, he'll bring the balance of what he needs to do as a Nozir, I should say he'll bring the Nozir Tohor sacrifices. At the fourth stage, as we said, he's taking care of all the other problems. So that if at this point he really had been a Nozir that was Nitma and a Mitzora, anything that he had brought till this time wouldn't have satisfied the Nozir Tohor requirements. So now he's bringing those sacrifices. We'll go over these points as we indicated earlier, and that's, you can see the triangles represent that, and we indicate this on the side under our Mivne heading. The triangles appear Hezber, Al-Kol Shlav, Shomishoy Nozir. These are explanations for each stage for someone who had been a Nozir. As far as Nazirus, he was definitely bound to observe Nazirus, but Sofek Nitmo Bemes, Vesofek Hoyo Mitzoro Muchlot. He also had been possibly defiled to the dead and possibly exposed to or experienced definite Tzoras. The Gemara, Amris. This expression, Amris, is like the expression Omar Mar that you find in other Masechtas. Maseches Nozir, we pointed out in the past, is a Masechta that's characterized by language that's a bit unusual for the Babylonian Talmud. So, this is a quote. Tiglachas Rishon Mevi V'chule, etc. You have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara enabling you to find where this quote comes from. So we saw there, at the end of the first period, he shaves, he brings the birds, and he brings a Chatas Ha'of and an Olas Behema. And the Gemara explains, and we have a long point, notice. All of this is the explanation. Mimonav Shach. Shapir Komaisi. Whichever way you look at things, he's doing what he needs to do. He's doing the right thing. De'i vadai mitzorahu velav tomei hu tziporim chovoso. If he was a definite mitzorah and he had not exposed himself to death defilement, the birds are obligatory for a mitzorah. That is one of these, the first stage of the mitzorah seeking purification from his defilement. He brings these birds. The Chatas Ha'of Sofek Oslo Lekvura. The Chatas Ha'of, which is associated with the Tumas Mace, so it's brought because of the doubt, and it's not going to be eaten. It goes to be buried. The Ulo Havya Nedova. And the Ola that he brought is brought as a voluntary offering. In other words, it's stipulated that if I was a Mitzora, the Nozir will say, so the Ola that I'm bringing now is a mere gift. Ulegalchoi soif shiva I efsher. Here's a line that presupposes our familiarity with the rules of Mitzora. A Mitzora, after he brings the birds, that means the Kohen ruled that the skin discoloration that made him a Mitzorah Muchlot has shrunken, it's disappeared, so he's no longer an actual Mitzorah, but he's seeking out now purification. So the process involves the bringing of the birds, and a week later, 7 days later, a second shave. So the Gemara is pointing out that our friend here, who has the suffix, we don't know what his status was, he cannot take that shave 1 week later, which would have been the case had we known that he was a definite Mithora, but we don't. So he can't do that shave 1 week later. Why? The Dilma Lav Muchladhu, maybe he didn't experience the Tzoras, and he wasn't a Nazir Tomei, and all he was a Nazir Tohor. For Rachmona Omar, the Torah says regarding a Nazir, Ta'ar lo yavor al rosho ad malos. He is not allowed to have a razor shave him until malos, until he completes his required time. And even if it's a Nazirus muetes, so he'll have to observe at least 30 more days. So the idea of taking a haircut within 1 week is out of the question. Ve'i lav mitzora vadai havi vehu tome. And if he wasn't a mitzora, but he was a nazir that became tome, chata sa'oif chovoso, that bird sin offering that he brings is his obligation. Ve'tzipor mavroi komis avdin velo havi chulin bazora. The birds that he is bringing at this first stage doesn't bother us. It's not a sacrifice. The Gemara translation is that the birds avroi means outside the Beis HaMikdash, komisavim, they're processed outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not a problem of bringing the unsanctified, the mundane, into the temple courtyard. So it's not a problem of chulin ba'azora, which if it had been in the courtyard, so that would have been the name of the problem, Chulin Be'azora, the mundane in the courtyard. V'oilas behemo havya nedova. And the Ola offering, the Ola animal offering, the burnt offering that he's bringing on the grounds that he wasn't a Mitzora, but he was a Nazir that defiled himself. So it's true, he doesn't need to bring an olas behema, he's bringing it as a voluntary offering, which is acceptable. V'lav mitzorohu v'lav tomehu. And if in fact he was never a mitzora, and he had not defiled himself, he was rather a simple nazir tohor. The birds that he brought, sipar mavroi komisavdin, the birds were not done in the Beis HaMikdash, they were done outside, it doesn't pose a problem. Chata sa'oif l'kvura, the bird sin offering that he's bringing at that point is buried anyway. No one's violating anything by doing the malika. Based on what we said in our introductory remarks, that a bird sin offering is unique, that it can be brought under doubtful circumstances. An animal sin offering could not be brought like that. Oilas behemo havya chovoso, the Ola animal offering that he is bringing on the grounds that he wasn't a Mitzora nor Tomei, he is obligated as part of completing Nazirus to bring three offerings, and one of them is the Olas behemo, and that enables him to take the haircut that he is taking at this point, the Tiglachas Rishona. V'ha boy Asham, does he not require on the grounds that he might have been a Nazir Shenitma, doesn't he have to bring an Asham, a guilt offering? A Nazir that became Tomei brings a Chatos, Asham, and an Ola. Well, what about the Asham? Rabbi Shimon he. So this source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, Yomar Maisi Umasni. The Asham can be brought and stipulated that if I need it as an osham, then let it be an osham. And if not, it shall be treated as a shlomim, although it will be eaten within 1 day, because that's the time period an osham has for its consumption, which is called, being mevi kochin lebeis hapsul, for those of you who are familiar with that term, but Rabbi Shimon is not mindful of that under these circumstances. So the osham can be dealt with as we just suggested. It's brought with a stipulation. Now, tiglachas shneo shlishis, the second haircut after 60 days, or in the case of the 1 year Nazirus, it would be after 2 years, and then the third haircut after 3 years or 90 days. Tziporim lo tzorich daha ovid. He doesn't need to bring birds anymore. It was done. That is to be done at the very beginning of the tzoras purification process. And he did that. He brought them at the Tiglachas Rishona. My Iko, what's left? Dilma vadai muchlatu? Well, you'll say maybe he was definitely a Metzora Muchlat. So, Chado, we mentioned in the Tiglachas, Shnio, and Shlishis, you noticed, if you look back at the source, you can see there was a bird sin offering each time. So, Chado, Lesofek, Sifro, one of those is what a Nazir would have to bring at the end of the counting period. We mentioned that there were two haircuts a Nazir has to take, that is a Mitzora. There are two haircuts that a Mitzora has to take, 1 week apart from each other in the original halacha, not over here, but there's a two-stage haircut process for the Mitzora to get out of his tzaras. At the second stage, he brings a sin offering, and that is what one of these birds represents. The second haircut above, the shnia, you saw a chatas of brought. That would be to cover the possibility that he was a muchlat, that he was a mitzora, getting out of his saras. So that's one of the chatas ofs. That's one of the bird sin offerings. V'chado l'sofek tumaso. And the other bird sin offering is brought as the possibility of his having been a Nazir that became Tomei. We mentioned a Nazir that becomes Tomei brings three sacrifices, and one of them is a Chatas Ha'of. Let us look at the Rosh commentary. We have a little star there. So he says, Havio Chado L'Sofek Sifro V'Chado L'Sofek Tumasu. Pirish Chatas Ha'of Al Tiglachas Shnia, the bird sin offering that he's bringing at the second haircut, Havi L'Sofek, Sof Yimei Sifro, the end of his Mitzora counting days, and the Vishel Tiglachas Shlishis, Havi L'Sofek Yimei Tumoso, and the bird sin offering that you saw as part of the third haircut is brought on the grounds that he might have been a Nazir that became Tomei. The Rashi also, a little more elaborate in his explanation. We have a star in the Rashi as well, the lower part of the Rashi commentary. We're reading from where the star is. Hilkoch b'tiglachas shnia miboyle lasuye chatos ha'oif b'mkom chatos b'hemashim m'chuyiv lahavi. A mitzora, when he is achieving purification, he has to bring a sin offering. So technically speaking, a real mitzora would bring an animal sin offering. But we mentioned before that you can't bring an animal sin offering when it's under doubtful circumstances. So the bird sin offering fills that role. The other bird sin offering that he's bringing at the third haircut, l'sofek tuma. The oilas behema shebezu, the a burnt animal offering that you see at stage 2 and 3, Teve Nedovo, we'll consider that a voluntary offering. Let us continue in the Gemara. We go back to the Gemara. Bottom line, Tiglachas Revius, Mevi, Korban, Taro, Umasni. At the fourth haircut, he's going to bring the sacrifices required of a Nazir who completes his Nazirus, and he will stipulate. Now, bear in mind that along the way you saw an Olas Behema being brought. That Olas Behema was we'll say, Nazir Tohor oriented. Namely, if he hadn't been a Tomei Mace, nor had he been a Metzora, then the Ola that he brought would have been part of his Nazirus completion requirements. And at the fourth stage, he's going to bring the sacrifices required of a Nozer who completes his Nazirus. And he states as follows. Masni means he makes a Tanai. He states conditions. De'i, we're at the top of Omid Beis. De'i vadai Nozir hu. Ola Rishona Chova Vezu Nedova. If I had been a Nozir without any Tumah problems, then the Ola that I brought at stage one, that was my obligatory Ola offering as a Nozir who completed his Nazirus. What I'm bringing now as a as an animal burnt offering, this is a mere gift. V'im Tome Umuchlad hu, and if I had been a Nozir that became Tomei Meis and also Mitzora, Oila Rishon and Nedova Vezu Chova Vezeh Sha'ar Karbono. So then the Ola that I brought at the beginning was a gift, and what I'm bringing now is my obligation, and the Shlomim that I'm bringing now, and the Chatos that I'm bringing now, it represents the balance of my Nozir completion sacrifice obligations. As we go on in the Gemara, we have what we have done till now. Obviously, as we went through the four stages indicated in the Tanaic source at the beginning of today's shir, and we explained what the reason for each item brought had been. And now you see a double underline, one of our series markings on the side of the Gemara. We call this we have a Nosei / Mivne heading. And the double underline, Od Dugmaois Shel Siruf Sfekus Ba'ayois Benozir Uma Mutter Bechol Shlav. Other, we'll say, combinations of doubts and problems affecting a Nozir and what is allowed at each stage. So let's see these. This basically is going over, I don't want to use the word rehash necessarily, but it's jumbling the different halachas that we've seen already. Let us say you have now, number one, you have Tomei Sofek Umuchlat Vadai. You have a person who accepted Nazirus. He might have become defiled to the dead, but he was definitely a Metzora. So someone like this, if he was definitely a Metzora, so he's going to, at the completion of the Nazirus days that he originally accepted, the first thing he's going to do is going to take the first of the two Metzora haircuts. And then a week later, he's going to take the second Metzora haircut, and the next day, day eight, he's going to bring the Metzora sacrifices, thereby enabling him to eat from sacrificial meat. So this Gemara tells us that a guy like this, that's a Tomei Sofek and Muchlat Vadai, Oichel Bekotshim Li'achar Shmoyni Yomim. And what about the Nazirus? We're assuming right now that we're talking about a Nazir of 30 days. The original Nazirus was a 30-day, we'll call Stam Nazirus. So when will this guy be able to be released from his Nazir restrictions? So after having taken care of the Mitzora requirements, he'll observe 30 days, at which time he'll take a haircut. So that brings us to, we'll say, day 37. And that haircut is a haircut that we're going to say, well, you know, you might have been a Nazir Tomei, so you'll have to take the haircut as is required of a Nazir that had been Tomei. Then he's going to only then be able to start his Nazirus of Tara, which involves another 30 days. So if you're keeping track, you see that he's released from his Nazirus requirements and restrictions only 67 days later. So that's what the Gemara says. V'shoyse yayin u'metame l'meisim li'achar shishim v'shiva yomim. We should point out, we mentioned at day 8, the Nozir, that is the Mitzora, would bring his sacrifices. That day 8 is simply a continuation, that's counted as part of the 30 days of Nazirus observance. But the first 7 days, since he was a Metzora Vadai, that cannot count toward his Nazirus observance. The next case, Muchlat Sofek V'Tomei Vadai. He had encountered a possible tzoras tumah, but maybe not. And he was definitely defiled to the dead. So he's going to have to take, on the tzoras standpoint, two haircuts. But the ability to eat the kochim, the sacrificial meat, is not going to be so quick. So we say, Oichel b'kotshim le'achar shloshim v'shiva yomim. He'll be able to partake of the sacrificial meat only at the 37-day mark. This 37 days are accounted for the fact that the first 7 days he had to observe as purification days for the Tumas Mace, because we said he was definitely Tomei Mace. So that's 7 days, at which point he takes a haircut. And that haircut is, we'll call it the first haircut, which would be for the Nazirus of Tumah. However, he might have been a Metzora. And the rules of Metzora preempt the rules of Nazirus. So that haircut, we have to consider, might be the first haircut of Nazirus, of Tzoras. There are two Tzoras haircuts. When does the second Tzoras haircut usually take place? We saw just before. 1 week later. He's not going to do that here. Why not? Because at the point that he takes that haircut, we don't know if he was a Metzora. He might be a Nozir, a regular Nozir. And a regular Nozir cannot take a haircut within 30 days. So there's not going to be any haircut for another 30 days. So there you'll have the second haircut. Now that second haircut, if he had been a Metzora, that will count as his Tzoras number 2 haircut, the second Tzoras haircut. That having been done, he'll be able to partake of sacrificial meat. So with that in mind, we've accounted for 37 days. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'shoise yayin umetame lemesim li'achar shiva v'arbo yomim. He'll be released from his Nazirus altogether after 74 days. Well, how do we account for that? We got ourselves already to day 37. At day 37, we said he finished what might be the Tzoras requirements. At that point, he's going to have to wait 7 days in order for him to be able to take the Nozir Tumah haircut. A growth of, we'll say, a minimum of 7 days is needed in order to qualify as a legitimate haircut. So that gets you, that's 37 plus 7, 44. At that point, he would have completed his Tumah requirements, and now he has to observe his Nazirus of Tahara's regular Nazirus requirement. Another 30 days, 44 plus 30, 74. And at that point, he is released from his Nazirus restrictions. Let's continue. Third case. Tomei Vadai Umuchlat Vadai. Here's a fellow that had accepted Nazirus, was definitely defiled to the dead, and was a definite Metzora. Well, yeah, he was definitely a Metzora, so we know that he takes, on day one, he takes the Tzoras haircut, and 7 days later, the second Tzoras haircut, and the next day brings his sacrificial requirements, and is able, at that point, 8 days later, to eat sacrificial meat. So, Oichel b'kotshim lachar shmoyne yomim. V'shoyse yayin v'tamila mesim. Now, as far as he needs to be released from the tumah problem, so after the second haircut that he took, which is called the second mitzora haircut, he had to wait 7 days. That gets you to day 14 for his tiglachas of tumah. And then he has to observe the basic nazirus of 30 days, getting you to day 44. So the source, this Gemara tells us that after, let's read the Gemara, he's able to resume drinking of wine and attending funerals, defiling himself to the dead after a total of 44 days. Shalu Talmidov es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Here's a new case. Nazir Tohor Umitzora. Mahu Shigaleach Tiglachas Achas V'Oile Loi Lekan Ulekan. Now, we saw in the Tanaic source, and this is essentially the basis for their asking the question, that the when a fellow had been a nazir with the Safek Tumah and the Safek Tzaras, he had to take 4 separate haircuts. We did not say that one haircut could count for 2 things. So here we have a person that was a nazir that did not defile himself to the dead, but he experienced Tzaras. Their question is, Mahu Shigalech Tiglachas Achas V'Oileloi Lekanu Lekan. Can one haircut count for both? Omelan Eino Megalech. No. One haircut cannot count for both one of the Tzoras haircuts plus the Nazirus completion haircut. Before we go further, let's take a look at the Rosh. You'll see a star in the lower part of the page. At that point, we're going to read together the Rosh. Mipnei ma nozir tohor eino kimitzoro v'tale tiglachas tzoroso l'neziruso. Why is it that a nozir tohor is not like a mitzora and have one haircut count for his tzoras and nezirus? Kigon im nechlat biom ashlomas neziruso v'nisrape. Imagine he had experienced Tzoras, and it was healed on the completion day of his Nazirus. 30-day Nazirus, and on that day he experienced the healing from Tzoras. V'gileach l'tzoroso, and as a Mitzora completing exiting the Tzoras, he shaves. Talelo gam l'Nazirus, let that haircut count for the final haircut of a nazir tohor. Uvmasnisen amrinon de tzorach dalin tiglachos mishum de tiglachas soroso lo also lo l'naziruso. Our Mishnah taught 4 distinct haircuts because one haircut does not count for the other. So why is that? So that's their question. Omru lo lama. Why? Omar lohen. You'll see the use of triangles throughout this source is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai's responses to the students' questions that will appear along the way. So he says to them, Omar Lohen, Ilu Zele Gadel Vezele Gadel. If it were so that the purposes of the Nazir Torah haircut and the first Mitzora haircut have the same goal, each one to promote additional hair growth. We'll cut the hair in anticipation of new hair growth. Or vizel lahavir, vizel lahavir. Or both have the same goal of removing hair. Yofa atem omrim. Then you're suggesting something. Why? Something that we could accept. Achshav, however, the goals of these haircuts is dissimilar. Nozir lahavir, the purpose of the Nazir haircut at the completion of his Nazirus is to remove the hair that grew during his Nazirus. Lahavir means to remove. Umitzora, the first haircut of a Mitzora, is done in anticipation of that following week's hair growth. In other words, you're taking the haircut in order to promote the growth of hair for the next week. And that's called ligadel, for growth. And therefore, they're different. And since they have different goals, you can't say one haircut should count for both. You'll notice we use a dashed underlining throughout the source as we continue. Each time a dashed underlining appears, it's a question that the students ask back on Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So they say as follows, V'lo ta'al eloi limei chaluto. Granted, the haircut that Nozir takes at the beginning, we'll say the first stage haircut, that cannot be combined or viewed as one haircut to cover itself and the Nozir Tohor situation. V'ta'ale loy limei sifro. There's a counting of 7 days between haircut number one and haircut number two. So why couldn't haircut number two of the Nozir, which is, it's not a haircut taken to promote new growth, why couldn't this haircut count for the Tzoras requirement and for the Nozir requirement? So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai answers, of the Omar Lohen, Ilu ze lifnei zrikas domim, veze lifnei zrikas domim. The haircuts are taken also in the context of their respective sacrifices. However, there's a difference. And he says to them, if both haircuts, the haircut of the Mitzora after Yemei Sifro, and the haircut of the Nozir at the completion of his Nazirus, were both before the blood sprinklings that are required of their korbonus, then yofe atem oimrim. Then your suggestion is fine. Elo achshav, but now in reality, Mitzora, the Mitzora haircut is done on day 7. His sacrifices are brought the next day on day 8. So in the case of the Mitzora, Lifnei Zrikas Domim, that Mitzora Yemei Sifro haircut is done before the sprinkling of his korbonas. The Nozir Laachar Zrikas Domim. With regard to the Nozir, when he completes his Nazirus, so he brings sacrifices, and the blood is sprinkled, and only then does he take the haircut. So the haircut of the Nozir is different. It's done after the blood sprinkling. So you understand why their suggestion falls away. We continue. V'lo ta'al eloi limei tzoroso u'neziruso. V'ta'al eloi limei tzoroso v'tumaso. In light of the Mishnah, now here this is not a case of Nozir Tor anymore. Here we're introducing a Nozir that had become Tomei Meis. And we saw very clearly that a Nozir that had become Tomei Meis, his haircut is separate and distinct from the Tzoras haircuts. Well, why does that have to be? Omar Lohen, Ilu ze lifnei biasmayim v'ze lifnei biasmayim. Biasmayim means immersion in the mikvah. If both of their haircuts were prior to their immersion in the mikvah, yofe atem oimrim, then I could accept your suggestion. Elotome la'achar biasmayim. If you look in the Meforsh, in the commentaries here, you can see through the psukim that they quote that the Nozir Tome is taking his haircut after he went to the mikvah. Mitzora, the Mitzora haircut, lifnei Bias Mayim. That's before immersion. Omru lo. Yofe amris shalotale lo ili me sifro ulinaziruso. Vitale lo lime chaluto vitumoso. Dezelegadel vizelegadelhu. Why can't we say that the nozir who had been a mitzora and experienced tumas meis have one haircut to count for both, for the number one haircut of the mitzora and the nozir tome haircut? Both of them have the same goal in mind. Both are taken, both are shaven in anticipation of the new hair growth. The cholut, the nozir, the mitzora who experienced saras, his first haircut is in fact in anticipation, as we said earlier, to promote the hair growth of the following week, to in anticipation of the second haircut. So it's legadel, and the nozir that became tomei takes haircut in anticipation of the tahara, the required nazirus observance that he now has to observe, which is to grow hair for the next 30 days. Amar lahem. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai responds to their suggestion concerning the one haircut counting for both nazirus and for tzaras, but he gives a seemingly complete answer, more than what they had said in their question. So Omar Lahem, im nozir tohor v'hu mitzora, if what you were suggesting was the nozir completion haircut of a regular nozir tohor and the tzoras haircut, well, zeh legadel v'zeh lahavir. The mitzora muchlad haircut is to remove the nozir tohor haircut is to remove the hair that had grown during his nazirus, and the mitzora haircut is legadel, is to grow the hair for the next week. It's cut now in anticipation of that week's growth for the second haircut. The nozir tomei v'hu mitzora, and if your suggestion dealt with the nozir tomei and the mitzora, well, ze lifnei biasmayim v'ze liachar biasmayim. One is before the immersion in the mikveh, and that's the mitzora is lifnei biasmayim, and the nozir tomei, that is that's after the immersion in the mikveh. So they can't, one haircut cannot count for both because of these differences. We continue at the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Toni Rebbe Chia. Ze lifnei biasmayim v'ze l'achar biasmayim. Ze lifnei zrikas domim v'ze li'achar zrikas domim. The text, as it's taught, is very terse, but it reflects what we have learned till now concerning the suggestions of let a nozir tomei and mitzora, one haircut count for both. They can't count for both. One is before immersion of mikveh, and the other is after. Likewise, the nozir tohor and the mitzora haircut cannot count for both. One is before the zrikas domim, and the other is after zrikas domim. Shetiglachas hanega v'chule. We have a question. You'll notice it's a long question we are marking. Romy Bar Chama will ask the four haircuts, is it a mitzvah to shave the hair off, or is it for the purpose of hair removal? Now, that might sound a little abstract, but we'll see a practical application of that analysis when we get into the Gemara. Boy, Romi Bar Chama, Hani Arba Tiglochias, the Ka'omar, Mishum Mitzvah, O Mishum Avure Seor Tumo. Is it required to fulfill the Torah precept, or is it hair removal to remove Tomei hair? L'may nafkamina, what practical difference is there in this analysis? Lavure benosha, to take one of the haircuts using a depilatory. In other words, not shaving with the razor. Now, before we go into the Gemara, our suggestion is to learn the Rosh, who elaborates on this. So let's do that together. The Rosh, at the beginning of the Rosh commentary, Hani dalet tiglochios di amrinon mishum mitzvah, klomar kulu mishum mitzvah, dafilu tome vadai, umuchlot vadai, even a nozir that had definitely become tome to the dead, and a nozir who had been a mitzora, definitely, hayukulon srichim tar, they would all require the razor hair shaving. Afilu tiglachas shlishis, shoya mishum tumu, even that third stage haircut, which was purely to take care of the tuma problem, the defilement to the dead. So we're going to be focusing, you see, on that third of the four haircuts. The truth is that haircut one and two, those are mitzora related. They have to be done with a razor. The fourth haircut is the final haircut for a nozir tor. That has to be done with a razor. The issue is going to concern the third nozir, the third haircut, which is done because of tuma considerations. So that is it a mitzvah? Oy mishum avuri seir shiabri menu seir shohayelo b'sha shenitma. Or is that haircut, that third haircut, for the purpose of removing the hair that was on the nozir when he became tomei? Again, removal of hair. Uvavure noshah sagi, and using a depilatory would be enough. Fuadin de mabayale l'chol tiglachas nozir tomei. Truth is that this could be raised as a question for any nozir that became tomei. But tzorch lomar, dinami sagi le bavure noshah tzorch ligalech miksas rosha betar. Oy b'misporayim. Here the Rosh is getting into a, we'll say, side remark, and that is based on the Gemara in Bava Kama. The Nosha that we think we're talking about right now is a depilatory that prevents any further hair growth. And if it does that, and if he would use complete depilatory, v'lomotzim ever su tiglachas shniyo shel taro, there would be no hair to cut off for the final nozir haircut. With that in mind, we now turn back to the Gemara. We pointed out then, if you say it's a haircut, four haircuts that are mishul mitzvah, so that categorization means each one must be done with a razor. If you say that it's for hair removal, and we were focusing on the third of the four haircuts, then the depilatory would be sufficient. The Gemara continues with this analysis. Iamris mishum mitzvah, then lavuri benoshalo, then the use of the depilatory would be unacceptable. Viamris mishum avuri seir tumo, afilu sachi nosho nami, mai. If you say it's for the removal of tomei hair that was on him when he became tomei, so the goal is removal of the hair, and that would be accomplished with the nosha. Omar Rova, so my, what is the ruling? Omar Rova Toshma. Rova says, listen, by the language of the source, Umegaleach Arba Tiglochios. The language was, there are four shavings. Isaka Daitach Mishumavuri Seir Tuma, if you were to think that the third of the haircuts is for removing hair on him when he became tomei, afilu b'sholosh nami sagile, then three haircuts, three tiglachios, three razor shavings would have been enough. And that would be like shavings one, two, and four with a razor. And number three, use the nosha, but it doesn't say that. Shma mino, mishul mitzvah. Shma mino. From the fact that the Mishnah was insistent on saying four tiglachios, we see that it's a function of a mitzvah, a Torah commandment, and that is accomplished only if you use the razor and not merely removal of hair associated with Tumah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.